They grant gifts of knowledge and insight. They tempt. They test us.
Silly thing to do. Why don't they leave us alone?
Without experience, there can be no growth. Existence is evolution, both on a spiritual and a personal level.
I see. So which is this Chi-Wi I'm closed against? Anastasia Rigel climbed to her feet and went over to one of the wicker baskets. She pulled out a small goatskin bag. If she was aware of his hungry look following her every move, she never showed it. "These represent the lords and ladies," she said as she sat back down. The bag's contents were tipped out. 6 coloured pebble-sized crystals bounced on the rug. They had all been carved, he saw, cubes with their faces marked by small runes. She picked up the red one. "This is for Thor, Lord of Destiny." The blue crystal was held up, and she told him it was for Chi-Wi, Lady of Hope. Green was for Anstead, Lord of Hatred. Yellow for Tarug, Lord of Mischief. Venus, Lady of Love, was as clear as glass.
"You said there were 6 realms," he said.
"The 6th is emptiness."
She proffered a jet-black cube devoid of runes.
"It has no lord or lady. It is where lost spirits flee."
She crossed her arms in front of herself, fingers touching her shoulders, bracelets falling to the crook of her elbows. She reminded Dariot of a statue of Shiva he'd seen in one of Valisk's 4 temples, Shiva as Nataraja, king of dancers.
"A terrible place," Anastasia Rigel murmured coolly.
"You don't think I have any hope?" he asked, suddenly annoyed at this primitive, paganish nonsense again.
"You resist it."
"No, I don't. I've got lots of hope. I'm going to run this habitat one day," he added. She ought to be impressed by that. Her head was shaking gently, hair partly obscuring her face. "This is Anstead deceiving you, Dariot. You spend so much time in his realm, he has an unholy grip upon your spirit."
"How do you know?" he said scornfully.
"These are called soul stones. He is the lord I am beholden to. He showed me what is to unfold." A slight, droll smile flickered over her lips. "Sometimes Tarug intervenes. He shows me things I should not see, or events I cannot understand."
"How do the stones work?"
"Each face is carved with the rune of a realm. I read the combinations, how they fall, or in the case of the emptiness, where it falls in relation to the others. Would you like to know what your future contains?"
"Yeah, go on."
"Pick up each crystal, hold it in your hands for a moment, try to impress it with your essence, then put it in the bag."
He picked up the clear one, naturally. "Love, lady."
"How do I impress it?"
She just shrugged. He squeezed the crystals one at a time, feeling increasingly stupid, and dropped them into the goatskin bag.
Anastasia Rigel shook the bag, then tipped the crystals out.
"What does it say?" Dariot asked, a shade too eagerly for someone who was supposed to be skeptical. She stared at them a while, eyes flicking anxiously between the runes.
"Greatness," she said eventually. "You will come to greatness."
"Hey, yeah!"
Her hand came up, silencing him.
"It will not last. You shine so bright, Dariot, but for such a short time, and it is a dark flame which ignites you."
"Then what?" he asked, disgruntled.
"Pain, death."
"Death?
Not yours. Many people, but not yours."
Anastasia Rigel didn't offer to sleep with him that time, nor any of his visits during the month which followed. They walked round the savannah together, talking inanities, almost as brother and sister. She would tell him about the Starbridge philosophy, the idiosyncrasies of the realms. He listened, but became lost and impatient with a worldview that seemed to have little internal logic. In return, he told her of his father, the resentment and the confusion of loss, mainly in the hope she'd feel sorry for him. He took her down into a starscraper. She said she'd never been in one before. She didn't like it. The confining walls of the apartments, although she was fascinated by the slowly spinning starfield outside. The sexual tension died down from its initial high-voltage peak. Though it was never laid to rest, it became a sort of game, jibes and smirks, played for points that neither knew how to win. Dariot enjoyed her company a lot. Someone who treated him fairly, who took time to hear what he said, because she wanted to. He could never quite understand what she got out of the arrangement.
She read his future several times, though none of the readings ever proved quite as dire as the first.